You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980. Should mention coming up at 8:45. Will Dawkins, Wizards GM, will join us. They're coming off a win. Ian Rappaport, who broke the story about Jaden Daniels being shut down, will join us at 9. NFL Network insider and reporter. Hey, we're days away from our holiday show. Definitely a lot of people are into it. Just getting emails from people that are going to be joining us. It's at Hyde Social in Clarendon, right there in Arlington, this Friday. We're going to be broadcasting live. The doors open at 6 a.m. Everybody stop by. Should be a good time. I'll have some books. You can start your holiday fun early with us, The Junk, 6 a.m. Friday at Hyde Social for our annual holiday show. It'll be the full crew. Cakes, of course, is off this week. Jason, kind of off this week. We thought he was going to be in today, but he's not. So that's this Friday at Hyde Social in Clarendon. All right, let's get into the Junkie Sports page brought to you by Open Road. Elevate your home bar with Open Road Distilling Company Spirits, locally crafted in Reston, Virginia. You can find Eagle Eye Rye, Maple Old Fashioned, Independence Bourbon, now available at ABC stores in Northern Virginia. And we'll start with this Diego Pavia story. So Diego Pavia was the runner-up in the Heisman Trophy on Saturday. They had the Heisman Trophy Award. Of course, Fernando Mendoza won it. Diego Pavia became kind of a sensation this year as he led Vanderbilt off to this great start, had a great season, finished the year with 27 touchdowns, just 8 interceptions, also had 8 rushing touchdowns, 826 yards, very charismatic guy, smaller guy, finishes second in the Heisman Trophy presentation. But afterwards, a little controversy. Number one, on social media, he was responding to an emoji, I believe, and he wrote F all the voters.
Yeah. He's just an idiot.
And then he was at a club and he's having a good time at this party, and there seemed to be like some bottle girls or something that were holding something with Indiana, and he gave the middle finger. He flipped mm-hmm. off Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
And people are wondering about his character now. And when you start getting into that area, you wonder, will this hurt his draft stock?
Well, I think it's going to hurt his draft stock, is that he's only 6 feet tall.
That's my first thought.
Yeah, I mean, you know, he's a little guy. You know, who knows? But yeah, I think so. I think it just shows judgment. You know, I don't know. Who knows? I have no idea. But he's clearly not savvy.
It would worry me a little bit. It's just very reminiscent of Johnny Manziel in terms of size. Yeah. So, and kind of his...
And attitude.
Kind of his attitude. Now, you don't want to pigeonhole him. Like, in the end, he didn't do anything criminal. He's writing a stupid comment on Instagram. And he's being kind of funny. He's out at a bar, at a club, and he's just flipping the bird. Not a big deal, right? Individually, not a big deal.
Except that for the NFL, they're looking for someone to represent their franchise, and they don't want to deal with that kind of thing.
And we just saw Shedeur Sanders drop. Now, some people will say, well, Shedeur Sanders wasn't that good. Mel Kiper, who's pretty plugged in, had him as his number one quarterback over Cam Ward, who went number one overall. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, Shedeur Sanders slid down. Now, the haters love the games where he throws three interceptions. The people that support Shedeur, they're going to point out to a couple of his long bombs and say, well, this guy had potential. Why did he slide? They're saying it's all the outside noise, right? That he slid in the draft because of his dad, because of his brash personality. And maybe you're seeing that in Diego Pavia. Do you think this would hurt his draft stock? 1-800-636-1067 if you want to chime in. I'm with you, though. Look, I'm not a huge college football guy. Like, I'm aware of Diego Pavia. But he was a zero star out of high school. And mm-hmm. I know that doesn't necessarily mean anything. Cam Ward, who ends up being the number one pick last year, apparently was a zero star mm-hmm. coming out of high school.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the stars do mean something in terms of talent, right?
Well, the talent, also doesn't size. Have the physical traits
right.
that jump out at you right away that right. would get a high rank.
But I think that's right. The stars, it's not the be-all and end-all, but it's kind of just a analysis of guys, you know, traits, their size, their arm strength, all those sort of things at quarterback. So, unbelievable story for him. Zero star. He's got no offers from D1 schools, so he goes to a junior college. He went to New Mexico Military Institute for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then he flips that into making it to the SEC at Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt, generally speaking, is an also-ran in the SEC. And they get off to, you know, a 6-1 start this year. They have a great year. So kudos to Pavia for that. I think that's the much bigger thing, though, when it comes to draft stock, is his size and his,
of course,
his attributes versus, you know, flipping off
right
flipping off a basically a cake at Indiana.
I mean,
that says Indiana.
If he had Andrew Luck's ability or Jaden Daniels' ability, they look the other way. If he had those physical traits, they look the other way. Maybe he slides a couple spots. And who knows? I have no idea. Where do they even project him before all of this? Where do they project the guy?
Let me check
or third round.
I mean, I would just check. Guess. Let me check a current mock draft.
I mean, he looks like he's got a nice arm. He's a tough kid, as you would imagine. You know, you see him run. He can escape. I don't know. But you're 6 feet tall. It's just a little bit more difficult. You have to be special to play at the highest level at that size. Maybe he could do it. Who knows? But I just think it shows to his judgment. And, you know, he could be a pain in the ass. Teams don't want to deal with a pain in the ass, especially if you're going to be a backup for most of your career. They just don't need to deal with it.
Yeah, I mean, he's projected, honestly, as a late round draft
choice. Yeah, fifth or sixth. Yeah. So this doesn't help, but whatever. I mean, I guess he doesn't care. I did think it was interesting. To just,
I mean, he kind of has the physical traits of somebody like Taylor Heinicke.
Oh, he's a little bit stronger. He looks like he's a little bit
thicker. Yeah, no, he's stocky.
He was
a high school wrestler.
Yeah.
Apparently, he was a three-sport star in high school.
Right.
But
He looks like NFL he's got a little bit bigger of an arm than Taylor.
I just saw Tom Brady last week.
Yeah.
Brady goes on the Colin Cowherd show weekly, mm-hmm. right? He's Fox guy, Fox radio. And he straight up said that if you're 6'3 and under, it's much harder to be successful as a quarterback. They seem to delineate 6'3 because he was saying, you know, just the whole, it makes just common sense. You got to see over the line. He said, you know, there are some great smaller quarterbacks like Drew Brees, but by and large, what Brady pointed out and I didn't really thought about, he said the smaller quarterbacks, they really got to work the outside of the field more because they see it better. And the outside of the field is harder throws versus, you know, throwing down the middle. Think of all those throws he threw to Gronk. Primarily, they were like over the middle, right? Or Julian Edelman cutting slants down the middle and like yards after catch. But you can see over the center and throw over the top. And
it's just more difficult when you're a smaller guy. And especially when you're a smaller guy with the kind of pedigree that Pavia has. So I think it's crazy to pop off like that. But whatever, he's an arrogant kid. You need some of that swagger to play at a high level too. So if he can really play, he'll overcome it.
I think it's a cool story when somebody doesn't get any D1 offers.
Of course.
Goes to junior college, makes it all the way to the Heisman Trophy. But we've seen it time and time again. There are guys who are really good college quarterbacks who never do anything in the pros. Some of them don't make the pros.
It's the hardest position in all of sports. Think of all those college quarterbacks
That played like in Nebraska 25 years ago, and they'd be great, and then, you know, it just doesn't translate.
The Tommy Frazier's of the world?
Yeah, I can't think of the other guy's name that's in my head. Was it Mike White?
Mike White was at Oklahoma.
Okay, Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But there were plenty of guys that are great college players who aren't ready for the NFL. And some of them actually have the physical attributes. I mean, Tim Tebow was arguably the greatest college football player in the history of the game. Some people say he's the number one guy. Some people would point to Cam Newton. Some point, you know, there's a bunch of guys you could point to, but he's up there. His game didn't translate.
Didn't translate. Well, because he did. He might have had physical attributes and he was big and strong, but he didn't have the quick release. He didn't have the developed passing game.
And he didn't have any of this baggage.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he had, I guess, a little baggage because the attention and the religious stuff, but nobody questioned his character. This is a question whether he could play. In the end, it's about whether you can play or not. I think if you're a great player, like you said, if you're Andrew Luck, you have Andrew Luck's traits, and you give somebody the finger here or there, you have a comment on social media, they're not going to sweat it.
No, of course not. If you're a baller, they can look the other way.
If you're a munchkin like Diego Pavia, you're probably not going to get drafted.
So I saw yesterday this viral clip. You mentioned Shador. And it resonated with me, and I looked it up, and it seems to be true. And the guy was like, now, because to a lot of people, it seems like from afar, Shador's been up and down, but, you know, it's kind of been on the wrong side of things, it seems like, with the Browns from the jump. They've just never really embraced him. That's at least been the perception.
He's
right?
Definitely very polarizing, at least in kind of the social media world and the experts world, right? There are some people that back him.
Even for Cleveland.
Yes.
Cleveland never really, specifically Kevin Stefanski, he never seemed to really embrace him even to this day.
There are some people that believe that Stefanski's sabotaging him, which makes no sense to me.
But here's a theory as to why there's no love lost. And it makes sense. Kevin Stefanski is the son-in-law of Tim McCarver. Tim McCarver had a legendary run-in with Dion, if you remember, when they won either the World Series or the NLCS, where Dion went in there and dumped ice bucket on him, didn't like some of the criticism from McCarver, and there was a confrontation that was viral. You can look it up
now. I remember that.
Yeah, and he's like, you're a tough guy. Like, McCarver.
So that's
like,
his father-in-law?
That's his father-in-law. He married Tim McCarver's daughter.
So there's a grudge.
So then the team tells him, you got to now marry the family, or you got to draft the family that you basically hate. You were basically taught to hate because of the way he treated your father-in-law. who's an icon, disrespected your father-in-law. Now you got to coach his kid. So you can see why Stefanski hasn't fully embraced him. It's been difficult for him. Imagine it makes all the sense in the world.
I think the bigger thing is he's not playing that well.
Well, that's also true.
And I don't buy
that's also true, but that's from the beginning.
I don't buy into the sabotage theory in this respect. Coaches want to win.
I'm not sure that he sabotaged him. I don't know if I believe that. I just think he hasn't embraced him.
He definitely hasn't embraced him.
That's what I'll go with.
But I don't know if he treated him any differently than Dylan Gabriel.
So it kind of seems like he did. And I'm pro Shador.
He's got an interesting background. His pops played in the NBA. Ed Stefanski.
Mm-hmm.
And is an NBA exec. I know he used to be part of like the Pistons front office. I don't know exactly what he's doing now. But man, there are some people that seem to be pushing the Shador can be great narrative, and they'll clip up a couple of his bombs because you'll watch a game. But I've always said you can take any quarterback and they can make throws. And so when you watch individual plays, you're like, oh my God, he's got a great arm. He's got whatever. You could find Taylor Heinicke throwing a bomb, right? But you got to look at dozens and dozens and hundreds of plays.
I think he does have some attributes that can be successful.
He definitely has some attributes, but Dylan Gabriel might have some attributes. The odds are neither of those guys are the answer for the Cleveland Browns. Right now, Shador Sanders, if you were to look at game by game, you know, he had the one game where he goes for over 300 yards, which is an accomplishment. It's not easy to just get to over 300 yards in the NFL. He threw for 364 yards in that Titans game. But here are his completion percentages by game. 25%, 55%.
I would throw out the Ravens game.
64%. 54%.
I would judge him on everything post-Ravens game.
Okay. Post-Ravens. 55%, 64%, 54%, 51%. Those are his completion percentages.
Yeah.
He's got 5 touchdowns, 6 picks.
Yeah. I don't think it's that unlike a lot of quarterbacks when they first play in the NFL, honestly.
Rookie quarterback?
Yeah. I'm not predicting greatness, but I do think he has some traits, and I do root for the kid.
And he's certainly not in a great situation. Cleveland Browns are terrible.
Yeah.
But back to Pavia, I don't think he was going to be drafted high to begin with.
No.
If he had perfect character, if he acted humble at the Heisman ceremony.
It doesn't help. If you're going to be a fifth or sixth rounder and you got all this, you're going to be a pain in the ass and you think you're a hot shot, it will definitely hurt you if you're just a borderline guy. And let's be honest, he's a borderline guy.
But remember Johnny Manziel, when he had his workout? Do you remember his workout?
Sure.
At the combine? Or
I remember it vividly.
Individual guy. He had music blaring, and people were like, oh my God. And you can kind of get away with it to a certain extent. He won the Heisman at that point. You know, he still got drafted high when people believe in you. But you're right. When you're one of these fringe guys, and then you throw in some stuff like that.
Listen, I still think Johnny Manziel is a freak athlete. If Johnny wasn't addicted to coke and alcohol and strippers and everything else and just had his head elsewhere, I would like to see what he could have done in the league. I'm not going to predict greatness, but I would like to have seen what he could have done if he didn't have all those things.
Right.
No responsibility, an addiction to drugs and alcohol, and just very little interest in playing.
He definitely wasn't, you know, Jaden Daniels when, and we kind of made fun of it, but when Jaden Daniels was on the plane and he was already studying the playbook.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Johnny Manziel has said he didn't even study the playbook during the season.
Complete opposite.
He was finishing a game and then flying to parties in Miami.
It's the epitome
of. And then flying back on Tuesday.
Listen, Johnny actually seems like cool when you see him in interviews. He seems like a fun guy, but he's still out just partying. Guy's got no job. No, nothing. He's just living off the family money, and God bless him.
That documentary they did on him, I can't remember if it was on Netflix or whatever. Yeah. It was kind of sad. Because usually those documentaries end up with a turnaround, and his ended up with just drinking and hanging out with the boys.
Right.
And he really had it advanced.
He's a great guy. He's great like to be one of the boys.
Right.
It's great to have your foursome. He's but he great had, to go out with.
He hadn't like figured it out yet.
But he doesn't really care about really doing anything, seriously.
And turns out the whole narrative of him being super rich, like his family being super rich, was overblown. He wasn't really.
He still
really,
has enough that he's not working.
He has enough. Well,
he flies
he's still Johnny Manziel. He can Pete Rose it, right? Go to autograph shows,
I guess.
Sign things.
I guess. He probably gets appearance fees to go to bars and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah, probably.
1-800-636-1067 is the number if you want to chime
in. Can we get him to come Friday?
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Get him to high
That'd
social.
Be fun. Coming up next, a guy paid $52 at Chipotle. Are we officially getting robbed at fast food now?
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, and we're excited to jump on the Rude Guest Hotline and talk with Kelly in Vegas. Kelly, sorry for the time mix-up. How are you?
Hey, doing well. How are you guys?
I took the Dolphins last night, so I'm not doing all that great. But it was a good weekend in general.
Well, you know, we can't be perfect. Every once in a while, the favorite does have to win.
I know you've got a lot going on with the splashdown picks and, like, all the cash people can be making. What have you noticed? I mean, you are a serious NFL gambler all over Vegas doing it all. Like, what kind of trends have you been playing this year?
You know, the reality is the good teams just keep winning. We saw it again last week. And I think there has been a big shift. So I've been in this industry for probably 15 years. I would say maybe even a little bit longer. I've always kind of been a gambler at heart. But the reality is the betting public is getting smarter. They have more access than they've ever had before. They have more knowledge than they've ever had before. And right now, the teams that are passing the eye test, the Chicago Bears, the Denver Broncos, and so forth. These teams that kind of came out of nowhere, depending on how follow you close, you know, closely follow the NFL. Those are the teams that are making people money. And those are the teams that the general public wants to keep backing, where the wise guys, you know, are so old school. They're all power ratings driven. They're all analytics driven. They're betting on teams like the Browns. I just, you know, it's tough. It's been one of those interesting shifts in the industry. And I'm really trying to adjust myself, because I was also one of those idiots that took the Browns on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, I had Green Bay. I thought I was outsmart in Vegas, so I get it.
Are you noticing that since we got all this access, are the bettors winning more or not?
The problem is they're never going to win. And the reason why is because they do dumb things like money line parlays with 10 teams, right?
So
they
dumb.
Do things like teasing that are not advantageous, right? You can tease -110, right? And most books don't even offer that anymore, so you need to check your teaser pricing. They do things like tease off of key numbers, and that's not what you want to do. You want to be going through key numbers of 3 and 7. I mean, that's an old school model, and the reason why the book changed their juice is because it works, and it's been working a lot this year. If you're teasing favorites down below a field goal, teasing certain underdogs up above a touchdown. Another thing that they're going to do is they're going to chase. So they may go 0-3 in the mornings, and the wise guys are going to go, all right, enough for today. I'm good. And they're going to go into the afternoon. Then they got to bet Sunday night. They got to bet Monday night. And, oh, what's looming around the corner? Thursday night football. Let me go ahead and add that to my money line parlay. So that's the problem. The recreational bettors lack discipline. And trust me, I'm not trying to sound like a hypocrite. It's taken me a long time to become disciplined.
Well, I got a friend of mine that always thinks he's going to outsmart Vegas. And I just let him know every time I go to Vegas, it's a new building. Okay, so they're not losing very often. And I work with him every day. So
yeah, that's me.
I notice he comes to work every day, so he's not winning very often like he think he is.
Just grinding it out. You know, I'm smart enough to not do money line parlays.
Machines. Yeah, I mean, listen, every time I see my dad and he's put money in the slot machine, he can't wait to tell me about the big slot ticket he hit, right? But I don't dare ask how much money it costs to go into that slot machine to win said big ticket.
All right, I just pulled it up. I am winning 55% of my NFL picks in this pool I'm in. So 55% is the number to stay profitable. That barely, but you're grinding it out. And then sometimes you bet more, sometimes you bet less. So this year so far has been going okay. The one thing I was really interested, Kelly, that you guys have going is the survivor pool for the – is it for the college football playoffs specifically? Because that sounds awesome.
So this – The one that's coming up that ends on Friday at 8 p.m. when Alabama and Oklahoma kicks off is college football specific. I do a ton of stuff with these guys, so we're going to have more for the NFL coming up. We have tons of stuff for NBA. We'll get into baseball season. It's become year-round, and what I've really enjoyed most about doing these contests is you can put in a little to win a lot, right? Like, I love the Vegas-based contest, and then these guys brought it more mainstream. They're available now in 40 states, so you don't just have to be in Vegas to, you know, at the Westgate Superbook or at Circa to get involved in some of these contests.
Yeah, that should be really cool. Who do you like to win it all in the college football playoff?
So back in late July, I do a show on Wager Talk called Bet On It. And back in late July, I said, man, who spent almost the most money this year in college football? Who's going to take the biggest step forward? And which conference is the most wide open? And I said, well, that's the Big 12, and that's Texas Tech. So I have this crazy 100-to-1 ticket for Texas Tech to win it all.
Oh,
I don't think they're going to do so. Yeah, I know. It's not for a lot. I just threw a flyer on it. I kind of wanted to go outside of the box. Everybody else on the show was giving out LSU at 14-1 and Clemson at 8-1. And I said, that's no fun. I want somebody that's a long shot to win it. And I don't know if Texas Tech is going to be able to get it done. I do think that defense is really improved.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm excited to see them. You know, I went to Kansas State. They're technically a rival, if you will, but I am excited to actually cheer for that team. I do have a 10-to-1 ticket on Georgia. I did bet them after they lost to Alabama. What was that? About 6 weeks ago. I said, you know what? I think this Georgia team is going to be able to go deep into the playoffs. So those are the two tickets I'm holding. But listen, you never want to count out Ohio State and Ryan Day. I know that they kind of have shown some moments of just absolutely unbeatableness until they played a little team named Indiana. Indiana's another team you don't want to count out. I think Kirk Cignetti as an underdog has been just absolutely epic since he was back at James Madison. So there's a lot of exciting matchups that I think we're going to see over the next few weeks, which is why this playoff survivor is going to be so fun. I personally am in three. They're $100 each. You can win $250,000. That is guaranteed money. So whether the contest fills or not, it doesn't matter. But I like to work it backwards. So in two out of the three, I put in Georgia, and one of them I put in Indiana. So I'm working them backwards because you've got to map out your path. And, you know, you get one wrong, and it's over. It's just like a traditional survivor.
That's cool. That sounds like a lot of fun. Kelly, we appreciate you making time for us. Good luck with the college football playoffs, and maybe we'll talk as the NFL playoffs eat up.
Yeah, I would love to. Thanks, guys.
All right.
I appreciate it.
That's Kelly Stewart. You can follow her at Kelly in Vegas on X and Instagram. When we return, the one and only Doc Walker joins the program.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second, and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
The Rude guest hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Welcome onto the show, Brock Vereen, Big Ten Network, CBS Sports Network, SiriusXM, joining us now. Brock, thank you for the time. We appreciate you. How are you?
I'm happy to be here, and I'm counting down to Friday. The chaos that is the CFP is finally here.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. First of all, I went to your Twitter account. People should follow you at Brock Vereen. And you had a hilarious Thanksgiving Day post where you said, a lot of y'all are about to eat subpar food today, because you're too scared to sit your auntie down and tell her it's time to pass the apron to the new generation, and that's nobody's fault but your own. I thought that was really funny.
It's the biggest travesty that a day that is about, if nothing else, eating tremendous food with the people you love, but love doesn't mean things have to be easy. Love is also sitting your family members down and saying the macaroni and cheese has gotten drier and drier every single year, and your daughter is ready to step into the limelight, but you're boxing her out, and it's time for the younger generation to take over in a lot of aspects, and it's a conversation that too many people are afraid to have.
I think it's 100% correct. And if you want to like record a message for my mother-in-law that turnips aren't a Thanksgiving food, I would hire to do that. But I can go a million different directions.
You can't.
I got you covered.
You can't fly if we're not allowed to spread our wings. You know what I'm
saying? That's all I'm saying.
You need to let
That's
us leave
I'm
the
saying,
nest.
Man, you know, look, everyone is concerned about the lack of quarterback production in the NFL. It's because they don't teach them. They just throw them out there. Well, this is what you're asking. You're asking, hey, when Nana dies, we're all of a sudden going to put the reins on her niece? No, that's not fair. She's got to get the reps now.
Brock Farina is with us on Grant and Danny. All right, let's get to the college football playoffs, Brock. In this state where we're broadcasting now, we're in Washington, D.C., but in Virginia where I live, there's representation in number 12, James Madison University. They are a 21-point underdog against Oregon on the road on Saturday night. Does JMU have a chance to keep this game close?
Yes. Yes, they do. And if I were to make the simplest elevator pitch as to how, it's because Oregon is a very good football team. They have not shown to consistently start fast. I would say Oregon State and Iowa are the biggest examples of a team that just kind of sleepwalks, which is very shocking considering who Dan Lanning is and the culture he's built. I would also say that the weakness, if you had to pinpoint for Notre Dame, is the linebacking units in pass coverage. And, of course, James Madison doesn't really rely too much on their wide receivers in the pass game. Of course, it's a run-first team. I would say the path to victory for JMU is, obviously, it's a run-first offense, and once you can establish that, play action to the tight ends is where Oregon's linebackers show to be the weakest when having to cover a tight end or a slot wide receiver. And that is how you win the game. You cannot turn the ball over. You have to eat up clock. You are snapping the ball with 5 seconds or fewer on the play clock every single down. And you can make things interesting maybe by the end of the third quarter heading into the fourth quarter. And at that point, it is anybody's game.
What's the most intriguing matchup in this opening weekend here? Whether or not you think it's going to be the best game, but what's the one you're kind of most curious to see, like an oddity, two teams that wouldn't normally play each other or something? What's one that you think is the most intriguing?
God, that's a good question. You know, a lot of people are anxious to see Bama-Oklahoma, and initially that was my gut feeling, and it dissipated pretty quickly. And I'm going to be honest with you, I'm going to say JMU Oregon because it's mostly out of spite, right? Really, anyone who has a major platform with college football has spent the last 2 weeks talking about how JMU has no business being there, how they should just get another SEC team or another Big Ten team. And it kills me because 10 years ago, JMU is being celebrated, right? Like 10 years ago, college football was widely considered a moment for teams who deserve the limelight and the spotlight and the chance to go up against teams that were thought to be in a higher class. And it's so disappointing that something has happened in the past couple of years where instead of celebrating what the Hoosiers did last year when they lose to Notre Dame, it's, oh, they shouldn't have been here in the first place. Instead of celebrating what JMU is doing this year and the opportunity that they have and the trajectory that they've been on since 2022, instead of celebrating that, we're here bashing them because we want to see Texas get their doors blown off in the first round. Like it's sad. So that's a lot of pressure to put on JMU, but I feel that the celebration should be the fact that they're there. And because of that, I do consider them and Oregon the most intriguing game.
Brock Vereen with us here, Big Ten Network. I wanted to ask you about this. In general, like the national pundits have just, you know, folded their arms and said, no, we don't want any Cinderellas. And it's like this, they prefer the oligarchy. They prefer this weird old system where, you know, why should anybody play any games other than three SEC teams, three Big Ten teams, and maybe like one upstart?
Joel Klatt said this week, nobody wants to watch JMU play.
And I'm going, I think it's completely wrong. Now, I know, forget about JMU alums, but like, I want somebody else besides the seven teams with the most money to play. Otherwise, we're wasting our time with every one of these games at all times, and that doesn't sit real well with me in American sports where we go, let's have a tournament and figure it out. So just your thoughts on the national discourse.
Yes, yes. Okay, so here is where people have lost themselves in the past, I would say, 3 years. College football has never been about winning championships. It has never been about winning championships. I went to the University of Minnesota. If college football was about winning championships, we would never be able to sell out a stadium. But our home games were sold out because it's not about winning championships. What is one of the most viewed games on Thanksgiving weekend? It's Iowa and Nebraska. Iowa is usually an 8 or 9 win team. Nebraska is usually a 6 or 7 win team. And everybody watches that game, and they play in front of 90,000 fans every single year. If college football was about winning championships, no one would be at the game. We're trying to make this a professional league. Why are Cleveland Brown games empty? Because the NFL is about winning championships. Why is nobody at Cincinnati Reds games? Because the MLB is about winning championships. College football is not about that. It is about beating your rival. It is about supporting guys who represent a university. It is about having allegiance to something for no other reason than you grew up rooting for that school or you went to that school. And that used to be enough. That's what makes it beautiful. And now all of a sudden we're talking about it like it's a professional league. And I understand how we got here. Kids are making hundreds of thousands of dollars. And I totally understand that. But we are ruining this thing. And 2 years from now, it's not even going to be fun talking about because you have the loudest and most prominent voices in this sport trying to rip away what makes it different. We don't want a minor league to the NFL. That's the last thing we want, and it breaks my heart that the thing I spend so much time watching and spend all my life loving is becoming what it is.
Love that answer, and it's something we're going to be talking about on the show a little bit later on today. Brock Vereen of the Big Ten Network on G&D. Indiana's the one seed in this whole thing because they beat Ohio State to win the Big Ten title. They're waiting on the winner of the Alabama-Oklahoma game that you referenced. That'll be the Rose Bowl game coming up on New Year's Day at 4 o'clock on ESPN nationally. I bring this up to say one of the things that I feel like is kind of broken with the current structure, a lot of people have different faults. We just talked about one of the arguments against how this all works, is for the second straight year, I feel like there's almost a penalty as the one seed. Like last year it was Oregon. Yeah. They had to deal with that plucky underdog 8 seed Ohio State. You know, yeah. The little engine who could that won the national championship. This year, Indiana's waiting as the number one, and they might get Alabama in their first game, a little rusty, having not played in a while. I don't know how to fix that, but it seems to me like something's broken if the really good multi-loss team that actually is one of the best in America ends up the 8 seed more often than not, or the 9 seed or something.
Yeah, and the interesting thing, too, is there's no way to perfect the seeding. So the only mindset you can have is, well, if we didn't play a good team this round, we would just have to play the next round, right? And so I feel that Indiana, who has been, I would argue, the most consistent team in college football, is going to be fine against either of those teams. Any SEC team, I would argue, their biggest issue is consistency, right? Like Georgia. Georgia, at their peak, is, I would say, the best team that we've seen this year. What's the problem? They've been at their peak a total of 5 quarters an entire season. And most of the other quarters, it's, is this like the 5th best team in the SEC? What am I watching right now? But then they figure it out and they win, right? The thing for Indiana is, yes, on paper, you are playing a team that the other teams that are on a bye are probably saying, well, I'm glad I don't have that matchup. But the fact is, you are the one seed because you were consistent, and this is a very flawed system that we have going on here. And I feel every single year there is going to be a team that gets the short end of the stick saying, well, we don't really feel like the one seed, but I guess we have to play who they line up for us. It's just the effects of a very, very incredibly flawed system.
It just feels like a second straight year where the two or the three probably has a more formidable or less formidable matchup. Like, if you're Ohio State waiting on Miami, Texas A&M, I'd rather play that game.
You're like, oh, no, we're the two seed.
And then Alabama, Oklahoma. But to your point, you can't, like, change the rankings for the matchup, so it is pretty convoluted in that way. Before we move on to the rest of the bracket and kind of how this thing's going to play out, did you think the right teams got in based on the format that Miami in, Notre Dame out was the right way to go?
It's one of the very rare situations in regards to Miami-Notre Dame where both sides are right. And Miami slash the voters versus Notre Dame. Notre Dame is completely fair to be irate about this, because if you were going to flip us, you should have flipped us. I could care less about the administration, quite honestly, but the players is where my empathy comes in. Because I'm a player who has spent the last 8 weeks thinking, man, if we just keep winning, I'm going to get a chance to compete for a championship. We were a couple plays short last year, and we're going to do it this year. And then through no scheduling fault of our own, all of a sudden, that's been ripped from us. I completely empathize with the players in that locker room. However, Miami getting in is the right choice. It was just it's clear that the committee tried to hedge their bets and said, okay, maybe Notre Dame can lose a game and we won't have to do the thing that we were going to do anyway. We don't want the finger to be pointed at us. And in sitting on their hands and not doing what they should have done weeks and weeks prior, they put themselves in this position and they lose even more faith that people had in them. And they're just going to be continue being a collective of the most hated individuals in college football, because of the decisions, or in this case, lack of decisions that they made.
Brock Freeman with us here on Grant and Danny. So outside of the top four, right, they've all got byes. So it's Indiana, Georgia, Ohio State, Texas Tech. Who outside of that top four that's playing in the opening weekend has the best shot to go the whole way?
You're not going to like this, but it's probably Oregon. I would say that what Oregon has done has been remarkable, and they are among the most injured teams in college football. Oh, I'm sorry, of the Final 12, right? Meaning Oregon has done this without two of their top three wide receivers, I would argue, entering the season. Not to mention one of the best wide receivers that they lost before the season even started. I would argue that their running back room hasn't peaked yet. They have a true freshman in Jordan Davison, who, like any true freshman, you kind of wait your turn and your reps increase as the year goes on. And only toward the back end of the year did they really start treating him like RB1. They have Kenyon Sadiq, who blew up last year, but this year was kind of the third option. But then once the wide receiver started going down, they realized, oh, my God, we have the best tight end in the country, and he's probably going to be a top 10 pick. And Dante Moore, who is continuing to get better and better. They have a defense that is loaded with youngsters who are getting so many reps. So I say that to say, whereas Ohio State blew out Oregon last year at the Rose Bowl because they peaked at the right time, Oregon is also in a situation where they could peak at the right time due to the injuries, some inexperienced guys getting more reps, but now have 8 or 9 games as being starters, and young guys who were true freshmen but now have the experience of a junior because they've been starters for the back half of the season.
Brock, which coach of those in the college football playoffs would you choose to start a program from scratch?
Kurt Cignetti, because in fewer than 2 seasons, he may have etched himself in among – well, I know he has etched himself in college football history. I confidently can say what he's done, and we're still in the middle of it, what he's done is sustainable. Are they going to win the Big Ten every year from here on out? Are they going to be a top 5 team from here on out? That's so hard to maintain in today's era. But to take a team that was by any metric at the bottom of college football and has now built something that is sustainable, because he's not going out there getting a bunch of five stars. He's not out there outspending people. He is an incredible coach, and when he was at Alabama, he was the head of recruiting. He knows what to look for. He knows exactly what fits in the system that he runs, and this is going to be a consistent thing. If IU had the money to lock up Cignetti for a lifetime contract like Kentucky did with Cal all those years ago, I would do it now. If I had a soccer opening, I think Kurt Cignetti could figure it out and get us a soccer chance.
Ted Lasso style.
Seriously.
Yes, exactly. There we go. He is remarkable in the fact that in today's era, he is not – yes, he's relying on the portal, but he's not, stealing number one targets from Bama and Ohio State. He's still developing them. He is both finding the right guys and still making them better. Nobody leaves that program without being twice as good as they were when they entered it. And the answer to that is Cignetti.
I know I'm just falling into the conventional wisdom, like, sheep take thing here. And it's because of his nerdiness, right? And I love this guy, yeah. Fernando Mendoza. I really do.
Yeah.
The more I
get
to know about him and see him, the more I love him. But this is like if your buddy from down the street, who's the biggest nerd you know, became the number one quarterback in America is what's happening. But I just have a hard time imagine him being a star NFL quarterback with his athleticism. He might go 1-1. I mean, would you take him or Moore? And what kind of pro quarterback do you think Mendoza could be?
I would take Mendoza if I need a guy to start day one. If the New York Giants somehow trade up and find a way, that's the perfect Dante Moore situation. Like, hey, we're still trying to figure if our guy right now is the guy. We're going to have a new head coach. He may want to run a different system that he doesn't fit, but you don't have to start right away. I would say from a ceiling, Dante Moore has a higher one, but as far as day one, Mendoza is the most day one ready guy of any of them, and he is a nerd, but he's cool. Because he embraces being a nerd, that makes him cool, whereas
yes,
a lot of nerds try to be cool. Mendoza says, no, I'm a nerd, I'm a dork, and I'm going to be the dorkiest nerd you've ever seen, and I can also swing the football, and I'm 6'5".
I'm one of those cool dads,
Exactly. I love Mendoza, man. And, again, is he going to be some Hall of Fame guy? I don't know. This isn't some Andrew Luck situation where he's going to turn the thing around tomorrow. But as far as day one readiness, he's shown that much.
Just to piggyback off that, give me a handful of players that, you know, for maybe some of the novices that are just tuned into this part of the season, that you kind of would have circled, players of intrigue that you want to watch in some of these matchups, guys you really like.
Oh, okay. Yes. Oh, thank you for that. One, Kenyon Sadiq, who Oregon is Oregon. They've played a lot of national games. I get it. But for those who haven't watched, Kenyon Sadiq is a tight end who's similar to Brock Bowers in that you build your offense around that guy. Give me both of Alabama's cornerbacks. It hasn't been the great year that they had last year. Last year they were kind of projected to be, oh, man, these are going to be future first-round picks, etc. Statistically, it may not look the same for them. I am very high on both of them. Going back to Oregon, Dylan Thienemann, the safety. To Ohio State, Caleb Downs is a safety who doesn't have a position, meaning what Matt Patricia, the defensive coordinator, does with him. It's an NFL defense that they run, and he's the master of it. He's telling defensive linemen what to do. He's telling cornerbacks what to do. He will play up on the line of scrimmage. He'll play at linebacker. He'll play a strong safety. He'll play a free safety. He is a certified day one starter in the NFL. Jacob Rodriguez is maybe the most fun guy to watch in football right now. A guy who causes all these fumbles, not by ripping the ball, but just because he blows you up and you hit your body instinctively lets go of the football. And give me one more. I know he's not necessarily going to be an NFL dude, but I like Oklahoma's quarterback. I like Arnold. I like anyone whose story was well, he failed over here. I would like to see him take care of Bama and maybe try to rewrite the narrative on him, which he's done a great job of so far this year.
21-year-old John Mathier. All right, we appreciate it very much. Thank you for the time, Brock. It is awesome to get ready for these playoffs with you, and we will enjoy your coverage leading up.
Anytime, fellas. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Brock. Good.
There's Brock Vereen with us on Grant and Danny. You can check him out on the Big Ten Network and on SiriusXM as well.
Welcome back. Chunky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. In Richmond, appreciate you checking us out on 910 The Fan or 105.1 FM. We are streaming live on the free Odyssey app, iHeart Radio, and TuneIn. And you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by friends at Crop Metcalf. They're the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies, looking to be their next five-star HVAC technician or plumber. Just visit cropmetcalf.com and you can join their team. It's Bish, EB, and JP hanging out. In a couple days, we'll be drinking during the show for our annual holiday show at Hyde Social, our pal Chuck Lee's spot right there in
Clarendon.
We'll
be drinking some. We're not going to get hammered like we used to 35 years.
I'm not.
That's up to you.
JP, when we're 35 years old. I think JP wants to go hard this year.
Oh, I think I'm going to go a little harder than usual.
Because?
He just wants to celebrate.
Next week.
Oh, you just want to celebrate?
Have a little fun. You know what? I've felt this pressure about the book because...
Yeah.
I finished writing my book.
It's a celebration.
It's a celebration.
No, but I finished writing my book on July 20th, and I don't want to get too into it.
All right.
It finally is out.
Finally is out.
But now I feel this pressure to get the books to people, hundreds and hundreds of books I got to get to people, hopefully before Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's tough. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. Because I also promised to personalize the first 1,000 books sold. So yesterday, just signing a book, and I write, I'll be honest, my personalization is, hope you enjoy the book, sign it, and then on some of them I put a hashtag HTTR. But to do 44 books, I timed it over and over again, which is 44 books in a box, took me between 14 to 16 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now multiply that times 40 or whatever it is.
Yeah,
it takes a long time just to do that, then to stuff them into envelopes, slap the label, and that's why I hired... Shorts.
Well,
to do
I think you're
going
to be able to sell a lot of books on Friday.
But anyway,
how many are you going to bring?
I'll bring a box or two.
Yeah.
But
I think you're going to sell.
But my thing is, it'll be a celebration when kind of this weight is lifted off my shoulder of I got to deliver these books to these people that bought the book in August.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
JP's just realizing alcohol helps cope with stress.
Yeah, right.
But also Valdez reminded me I'm off next week.
But
so it's my last show for a week. You know?
So next week is me and Eric. Is you off next week?
I'll be in Florida.
No, it's you and Cakes.
So it's me and Cakes next week.
Yep.
And then it's me and JP New Year's week.
Correct.
Pretty sure.
I'll tell you off the break.
The day after New Year's after or whatever? Year's.
Yeah. Oh.
I think it's off now.
Yeah, that's a company holiday.
Yeah.
Jason didn't
know that. Oh, I knew that. I knew that.
But anyways,
I think they did that because they didn't give us the day after Christmas. So I think they flip them. So maybe next year, January 2nd, if it was on a Friday, wouldn't be.
Look, I don't want to end up on the floor, passed out, throwing up,
vomiting. Just have some IPAs.
I do believe Surfside's going to be big time part of it on Friday, right?
Surfside will be there with swag to give out to you guys and the listeners.
Thank you.
They're not like handing out drinks to you.
Okay, but I can get Surfside.
Oh, yeah.
And like, I might just drink exclusively. I like the flavored Surfsides.
Yeah.
And drink one or two per hour. I'll catch a nice buzz.
Yeah, you'll be good.
Or take a dip into the Scotty's Fountain.
I'll be all in the Scotty's Fountain.
If I do, that's easy. Look, if I drink 8 Surfsides in 4 hours, I will have a buzz, but it's only 100 calories per day, right?
Yeah.
And it's not outrageous. It's not like having 8 IPAs. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Dude, if you had 8 IPAs, you'd be on the floor. You'd be on your back.
Is that true? IPAs have super high alcohol content?
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I have no idea.
Some higher than others. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's some IPAs that are over 10%.
Yeah.
What is an average IPA?
Oh, I would say like 6.5.
And an average, like, let's just say a Miller Lite is like
3%. 3.5, yeah.
Okay, so it's double.
They double it, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You double.
Mostly triple.
Yeah, I've been an IPA guy for years.
But
you
also,
finally come
IPAs,
around to IPAs.
They taste great
to me. The last couple years, you've come around to IPAs.
And I like having two, and I'm fine.
Yes.
Because I have my nice little buzz after two. If I had Miller Lights, I'd have to drink, you know, or any light beer, I'd have to drink 6 or 7 of them.
Right.
And I don't want to do that.
Right. Now, the IPAs are heavier.
They're heavier, yeah.
Like, you have two IPAs, that's probably, I mean, it depends, but over 1,000 calories probably.
Yeah, it's not great for you, but I'd rather just have one or two and feel good, and then it's a long story. But yeah. we'll have fun.
Look, it's going to be a good time on Friday. We got the White Elephant. Mm-hmm. It's 6 o'clock. I've heard from a lot of people that are coming. You can come at 6 and just join in on the fun. I know, I think it was last year when we did it in public, and it was awesome having a bunch of people out there. Just get out and say hello. Yeah, we'll I appreciate the listeners.
I think we're going to have a lot of listeners out.
We're going to have a Q&A too, like we did last
year. Yeah, we'll do that. I have something scheduled at 9 o'clock. Uh-huh. Might have some surprise guests coming by.
Yeah, you're going to have to schedule it heavily, because after a couple beers, we don't care. We don't care.
Right.
Some would say that about every show.
I know. There's a truth to that, but at least we try to be conscious. Okay, what are we doing this segment? What are we... By 7:30, it's just
outlines out the door.
Yeah, I know. I got stuff planned.
Okay,
who am I going to dump the most is the question.
No, we're pretty good with that stuff.
We're pretty good. It hasn't been that bad.
All right, so Joel.
That happened in years.
Joel Klatt's a very popular college football commentator.
He works for
Fox Sports.
Yeah, he and Gus Johnson.
Most people know Joel Klatt, but if you don't know him, just setting it up. He had some comments criticizing the NCAA tournament. Let's play the audio, and then we can get into it.
We're not looking for a Cinderella. Nobody cares in football about James Madison or you know, the equivalent of George Mason going. Didn't George Mason go to the Final Four
or something like that?
Nobody cares in football about that. We don't want Cinderellas. We want the best teams playing each other at the end. In fact, hot take. I mean, like, the hottest of all takes that I've ever had in my entire life. The NCAA basketball tournament is a joke. It's the dumbest tournament and the least fair tournament in all of sports. We go and we put teams at odd times on neutral sites in a one game affair. Like, that doesn't crown a true champion. We're not doing anything that tells us who's the best team over the course of the entire season. You know, like, if anything, the NCAA basketball tournament should act exactly like the old World Cup, which we should have groups. They should all get guaranteed 3 games, and they should be played at the higher seeds arena so that those seeds are rewarded for a quality game. And that way we don't just get to see, like, you know, Kentucky one and done against George Mason or something like that. Well, that's stupid. That's stupid. Again, hottest of all takes, but that would make the NCAA basketball tournament far better. Neutral site, one and dones.
No, he's incorrect. That is a hot take, but that's incorrect. It would not make the tournament better. He wants basically NBA playoff series in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it might... Listen, because the fact is, it might pick the best team more often, but then you take away, you won't have the Villanovas, you know, you won't have the George Mason States, runs, the right? NC States. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And people do care about Cinderellas. People get like into that.
Yeah.
Of course they do. Now, as far as the college football playoff, I understand what he's saying. A team like James Madison, and look, I'm pulling for James Madison. I'm a Virginia Tech guy.
I feel like a lot of guys are.
But they're not going to be able to win the national championship. All right.
No, football's but if they get different. A win, it'd be amazing.
Even if they got a win, it would be shocking.
But look at what Indiana's done.
How great would it be if they did go on a run?
It would be unbelievable.
See, to me,
it's harder to do that in football.
If you don't have a team that you care about, all right, so go through the top four teams. Indiana, I don't care about them. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go through all of them. I got no affiliation with any team in the college football playoff.
Right.
So I want to root for an underdog. That's what I like to root for.
I don't
take away the underdog stories. I totally disagree with Joel Klatt on almost everything he said there.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he said it's the worst tournament in history, I mean, he sounds stupid.
Well, because he's looking at it from a different perspective. He's looking at it as, how do you identify the best team?
Yeah.
And that's not really what the NCAA tournament is about.
That's very true.
And even his World Cup thing, okay, you can make that point in the group, but there's no guarantee that the best team wins the World Cup. It's just like the NCAA tournament. After you get past the group stage,
then it's one and done.
You're knocked out. You lose. You're in the quarterfinals.
The best team doesn't always win their championship in whatever sport.
Yeah.
It just doesn't happen.
Nebraska just got, you know, lost to Texas A&M in volleyball.
Right.
And I know no one here pays attention to it, but they were a massive story this year. They were, like, let's just say, like, 35-0.
They were undefeated.
Undefeated,
right?
Yeah. Killing everybody. I mean, heavy favorites, and they're out.
Yeah. I mean, I think he's getting to this point because of the fact that James Madison and Tulane are in. I think they're great stories, and they're in because of some tie-breaking controversies and Notre Dame being left out. Look, Notre Dame is obviously a better team than James Madison and Tulane. They would beat them. But I just think it's a great story when teams like Tulane and James Madison get in and have an opportunity.
Yeah, but it's a good story. It's a good story until it ends up like the Liberty and the Fiesta Bowl, and they lose by 40.
Yeah.
Like,
1-800-636.
It's a good idea on paper, but until it happens, and you know, it's not the most competitive game in the world when Tulane's getting smoked by Ole Miss.
Yeah, which will probably happen. But I still think it gives a path for those kids who play at the group of five schools. It gives them a path.
This is also why opening up the field in football to 16 would be better. Because now you could allow the opportunity to have these Cinderellas, but not mess with the big boys playing against each other in the semifinals.
Yeah.
That's why I'm pro make the NCAA hoop tournament bigger. I'm fine with it.
I don't love that.
I don't want to make it bigger.
Fun. Give everybody a shot.
But I like the fact that in the NCAA tournament, the higher seeds do get rewarded, by the way, because they play closer to home. Sometimes they play in their own states. Right. All right? They are neutral floors, but they do get preferential treatment in terms of seeding. And you're also playing the lower seeds in the country. So the smaller conference teams, conference champions. So they do get rewarded a little bit. It's stupid to say you want to see best of three, at a team at Kansas.
Right.
That's dumb. That would be much less interesting.
What do you think? We want to hear from you. 1-800-636-1067. What do you make of Joel Klatt's comments? You know, what went through my head is, and I don't think you were here when Coach Larrañaga was here.
Yeah.
Last week, I missed that. Probably the highlight of the week, at least for me, from my perspective, was when we had Coach Larrañaga and Coach Skin from George Mason in studio.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we hearken back to a time on our show when we had a really close relationship with George Mason and Coach Larrañaga. Even before they had the Final Four run, we'd had him in studio a couple times. They had made
the players.
And just making the NCAA tournament for them was a big deal. But Coach talked about that run. Like you're talking about James Madison, there's no way they could beat this team. People thought, well, there's no way they could beat Michigan State.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's no way they can beat UConn.
Right.
They did. So why would you take away that possibility? I don't know. Especially for me, I like rooting for the underdogs. I didn't root for Michael Jordan. I rooted for Charles Barkley. Never happened for him.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm an underdog guy. But don't take that away from fans.
The story of Villanova in 85 as an 8 seed winning a national championship is an unbelievable story that no sports fans will ever forget. The story of NC State as a 6 seed mm-hmm. beating Houston. Houston was unbeatable that year mm-hmm. with all their talent, is an unbelievable story.
Or even VCU making it to the Final Four.
VCU, Florida Atlantic back in 2018, right. 2019. I mean, those are great stories to me.
They're awesome. Yeah. And in college football, I wouldn't hate it if a couple of the big boys didn't make it and you added a different JMU. I don't mm-hmm. care. Like if they put Duke in there because Duke won the ACC championship game,
mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have had a problem if you knocked out I'd have to look at the field. But well,
it would have knocked out a James Madison.
Well, no. Let's keep James Madison in.
Oh, okay.
Put Duke in and knock out who was the 8th seed. Like whoever was like 7 or 8.
You mean like knock out a
Miami?
Like a Miami boys.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Because that'd give me another underdog to root for. Yeah. So
Miami,
I don't hate it.
Because Miami's a 10.
We'll take more of your calls. 1-800-636-1067. Do you think Joel Klatt has a good point or do you disagree?
Denton's sticking around because we still had one playoff game left. He likes Oklahoma, the home team. He likes Texas A&M against Miami, the home team and the favorite. Short favorite. They're a 3.5-point favorite over Miami. He likes Ole Miss, laying the 17.5 against Tulane. And then we come to the dreaded, the scary 5-12 matchup every year. You know, 12s beat 5s every year. Wrong sport. That's in March. So it is 5-12. Oregon at home in Eugene against James Madison. So for those that haven't watched any college football at all, let alone James Madison. Let's start with Madison and tell everybody why Madison is here. What do they do well? What don't they do well?
Well, they got a quarterback that's a hell of a player in Alonzo Barnett. You know, he tore his ACL last year, came back, and won Sun Belt Player of the Year. And they put together a really strong season in the Sun Belt Conference and then won the conference at home. They're a good team in that particular league. The problem is they're going up against a legitimate juggernaut. You know, I watched that Sun Belt Championship game, and defensively, I think they're really well coached. I think they fly around really well. They have a good coach who is, you know, leaving them for UCLA, but Chesney's a really, really good coach. So they do a lot of things really well at that particular level. The problem is, you know, the quarterback is he's a dual threat, but when it comes to accuracy, it's not fully there. And against a team like Oregon, you have to be damn near perfect when you're playing at a massive disadvantage the way that James Madison is going to be from a talent perspective. And I think that's where they're going to run into some issues. You know, there's a couple throws in the Sun Belt Championship game that it didn't really hurt them because the opponent couldn't make anything of it, but those are the kind of throws where Oregon's going to be able to take advantage of. You know, Oregon's a really good offensive team, but they're also a really good defensive team, and they just haven't gotten a lot of credit for how good they've been on defense.
Is Dante Moore going to enter the NFL draft, win or lose? Does it matter?
It does matter. I have no idea. I think we're seeing a trend, which if you're a fan of college football, is great.
Yeah.
These programs have enough money to justify keeping guys.
Back.
We're seeing that with Lenore Sellers. And Dante Moore's
he
the
didn't
guy
have
that
a good
had been.
Year,
no, he did not. In South Carolina, I don't know why he stayed in South Carolina, yeah. If we're being honest. Like, there's a better opportunity for him elsewhere, but he wanted to stay with his current team. I think there's a very real possibility that Dante Moore comes back for another year. You know, unless they win a championship, if they win it all right off into the sunset, go to the NFL, and you know, odds are if you win it all, Dante Moore likely goes crazy in some games, and he puts some really good film out. But I think there's a very real possibility that Dante Moore is back next year, and that leaves only Fernando Mendoza as a guy that could be drafted in round number one.
Yeah, that's the way things are developing. I mean, and even if Moore comes out, Simpson's available, it's right now, I mean, maybe those three. I mean, Moore for sure, maybe Simpson towards the end of the first round. I mean, it could ultimately be somewhere between a 1 and maybe a 3 quarterback first-round draft at this point.
Yeah. It's not nearly as sexy as it's been in the last couple years.
Can Carson Beck help himself tomorrow night and in this run? What if he lights it up?
I mean, he could. That is a possibility that can happen. I have not seen anything this year that would suggest all of a sudden he is going to light it up. He does have the intangibles that is going to make somebody fall in love with him. And honestly, you know, if a previous regime was here and this team needed a quarterback, they would draft him and then sing the praise of him for at one point being a top five projected pick that they got with a better pick. So like he falls into that
Sam
category.
Howell.
He's Sam Howell. Oh, he was so good. You know, he's going to be a top five, and we just got a fifth round. Look at the value. You'd get the same thing there.
Here's the thing about Carson Beck to me. You and I had this conversation earlier in the year. First of all, apparently the intangibles, the off the field, the coachability, a lot of that stuff is the red flag with him. I think you know that, and there's been a lot discussed about Carson Beck and going from Georgia to Miami and that process and the money and what he'd be like as a teammate, etc. But I'll tell you what, man, when you protect him and you've got a running game, he looks the part in the pocket. He's 6'4". He's a big he's 215, 220. He can throw the football. He can make every throw. The decision-making ends up being a bit of a problem. And that gets him in trouble, and he's thrown some absolute back-breaking picks this year. He had 4 in their first loss when they were undefeated and ranked. What were they at that point? Were they 2 or 3 in the country when they lost against
3,
Louisville?
I think. Yeah, they were 3.
Threw 4 interceptions in that game. 4. And, I mean, 3 of them were just horrendous. And then in the other game they lost at SMU, he threw 2, including 1 in overtime, which was just terrible. I mean, it was awful. But when he's on, like he was against NC State, you know, and Virginia Tech, down the stretch, I think his completion percentage in the four games that they won, I know that they didn't play anybody, although the win at Pitt was, you know, impressive. But I think his completion percentage was like 80%, threw for an average of like 290, and I think it's like 11 touchdowns, one pick over those final four games. I'm just telling
you. He's physically talented. There's a lot of physical talent there, but the problem is the brain is the problem.
Yeah.
Right? He's kind of dumb off the field, and the decision making on the field is not very great. So if you can coach intelligence, maybe he's your guy, but it feels like, I mean, he's like 23. Like, he should be past some of the things that he's doing, at least from a football perspective.
Yeah.
Like, a 23-year-old off the field is going to be a 23-year-old. We were all 23. We're all idiots when we're 23, and we think we know a lot more than we actually do. But you would hope that some of the decision-making stuff on the field would have matured a little bit, and he still has something there that's holding him back a little bit.
Back to Madison real quickly. Do you give them, like, how? If I told you we had one of the biggest upsets, because if they won, this would be considered the biggest upset in college football history because of where it happened and when it happened. You know, we've seen some of this, you know, over the years. Going back to App State, you know, in Ann Arbor, that was kind of like one of the first of the lower tiers. But if it were to happen, how does it happen?
Well, it has to be Oregon shooting themselves in the foot over and over and over again. You know, there's no scenario where Oregon plays well and loses. That's not going to happen. You need Oregon to play mistake-riddled football. And we're talking Dante Moore having a Carson Beck kind of game where he throws four interceptions, and maybe there's a couple of fumbles in there, and James Madison's really able to take advantage. If this ends up being anywhere near a track meet, Madison's in trouble. I think there's a possibility where they can score 21, 24 points against Oregon. Slim, but, you know, if those things happen, a pick six here, special teams touchdown here, if you are asking James Madison to score upwards of 30, they can't do that against Oregon. And the problem is that Oregon should be able to do that against James Madison. They'll be able to protect Dante Moore, and if you give Dante Moore some time, he's going to slice up that defense. So I think Madison needs a lot of things to go their way to keep this thing even remotely close.
Who's the – give me the including the four bye teams, give me the your top three players among the 12 teams before this playoff starts. For people that are going to sit down and over the holidays, they're going to watch these games. Who are the three best players in the sport? Or not in the sport, in the playoff?
Oh, God. Two of them are going to be on Ohio State's roster. Maybe three of them are on Ohio State's roster. I think definitively number one is still Jeremiah Smith. I just think he's awesome. Yeah. I mean, he is a legitimate
wide
game
receiver,
wrecker.
Ohio State. By the way, not eligible for the draft this year, but will be eligible for the draft, and many people think could be the number one overall pick in the 2027 draft.
He's trending that way. I mean, you know, we've seen some good freshman players over the years, but then to do it again sophomore season has been really impressive. I would say that Arvell Reese, the edge linebacker at Ohio State, is number two. And then maybe we would put Fernando Mendoza at number three with – you know, Dante Moore and Reuben Bain, you know, bringing up the rear if you want honorable mentions. But I would say that those three guys, Mendoza, Smith, and Reese, are the three best.
I mean, I think both of the linebackers at Texas Tech, Bailey and Rodriguez, are as good as any of these players in this. I mean, Texas Tech's going to be really interesting next week to see, you know, how they fare in a matchup against Oregon. Is that Miami or is that the Sugar Bowl?
I think that's a Sugar Bowl.
Orange Bowl.
But maybe it is Miami. Oh, now, Miami is where the national championship is, so that might be the Sugar Bowl.
Okay. All right. You rooting for anybody? I'm actually rooting for the Canes a little bit. I'd like to see – you and I both early in the season said on one of the – probably a few shows in a row, we both thought that Miami was the best team in the country, and they weren't during the season.
Yeah.
They weren't even close. But in the trenches – with some of the bigs they have, O-line, D-line, they can run the football. This guy, Malachi Toney, is an absolute threat as a playmaker. I'm worried about the coach, too. Don't get me wrong. But I'm kind of rooting for Miami to at least make a run here to prove that they deserve to be in it. Are you rooting for anybody?
I would have a slight rooting interest in Oregon because I really like Dan Lanning, and I love a guy that stayed at his job when other big-name programs have come calling. And
yeah,
to be honest, I would love it if the national championship stays in the Big Ten. So if it's Indiana, if it's Oregon, maybe a little bit Ohio State, though I would like to see somebody else more parity. So I would love to see Oregon come out on top.
All right, give me your championship game and your championship winner.
I think it's going to be Ohio State and Georgia, and I think Ohio State wins.
Well, Ohio State and Georgia would play in the semis, right?
Oh, I guess they would. Damn.
Yeah.
I hate that. I hate the way that that's done. But so I guess they play in the semis, which means I go Ohio State, Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech might be able to get one over on Indiana, so I'll go Ohio State, Texas Tech.
And the winner is?
Ohio State.
Back-to-back.
Back-to-back.
And then what does Ryan Day do?
For the first time in a long time.
Does Ryan Day say, you wanted me out a year ago, and I just gave you back-to-back national championships? See ya.
Yeah, I think he would do that first part. He said, you wanted me out. I just gave you back-to-back national championships. Now, here's a picture of me signing a $14 million extension per year to stay here and become the first guy to have that kind of money.
Yeah, and they would say, well, we wouldn't care less about any of it had you not beaten Michigan this year. all right, thanks for doing this.
Yep, see ya.
Denton Day, everybody, with a preview of what should be a great weekend. I mean, tomorrow night's game standalone, Norman will be absolutely insane, electric. And then to get, you know, the high noon game before the NFL, people were wondering, why wasn't Texas A&M Miami put, you know, in a higher profile spot? First of all, the 12 noon spot in college football is a high profile spot, has been for a few years. Ohio State, Michigan play at 12 o'clock. We've seen some of the biggest games of the year in that 12 o'clock window, but they're not going to put that game up against the NFL. You know, Skins Eagles starts at 5, and then you got Bears and Packers following that. So you're getting Alabama, Oklahoma as a standalone, and you're getting A&M, Miami as the two standalones with no competition. You know, Tulane, Ole Miss, and Madison, Oregon will go up against the NFL. And actually, Tulane, Ole Miss, you'll get the first half of the game before Washington and Philadelphia kick off. I remember last year we had some of that conflict because they had the Christmas Day opponents playing on that Saturday, and the NFL outrated those playoff games, but I think it was a lot closer than people thought it would be. But this is year two of this, and this is awesome, man, to get home fields. I think if you're a team that got a first round bye, it's great, but at the same time, wouldn't you love to have had a home game in your own stadium as a playoff game? You know, if you went to 16, you would get 8 first round games, all home sites. And maybe that's what you'll have in the future. I actually like it at 12. It's fine with me. I'm rooting for Miami a little bit because I had such a strong feeling about them early in the season. And I think they're really, really good and talented. But the quarterback is the question, as is the head coach. The quarterback could be, if he's on, man, and they go on a run here, they could easily win it all. I mean, they're that talented in the trenches in particular. But I think at the end of the day, we'll probably see Ohio State and Indiana in the final. The two teams that have been the best teams all year and put on an unbelievable Big Ten title game. We're going to see that as a rematch when we get there. And I think this time Ohio State wins for back-to-back. Two incredibly good defensive football teams. We saw that in the Big Ten title game. There are some really good, you know, we've talked about the good defenses in the NFL this year. I mean, the two best teams, the top two seeds, really the top four seeds are unbelievable defensive teams. Indiana, Ohio State, Georgia, and Texas Tech. And then maybe the best defensive team in college football is the 8 seed, Oklahoma. They just don't have enough offensively to win what would be 4 games. And they would get Indiana next week in the Rose Bowl on New Year's Day if they win tomorrow night. Go Madison, man. That would be quite the story. I don't think it can happen, but I think it's closer than some people would make it out to be. This is not a 16 versus 1 in college basketball. It's probably not even 2-15. Maybe it is. Maybe it's a 2 seed versus 15 seed equivalent in the NCAA tournament. And that happens every once in a while. It's a lot easier for it to happen in basketball because you can shorten the games. If you've got one really good player or two really good players and they don't get in foul trouble, you know, there are ways to keep games close. In football, much harder. But I think that these lower tier conferences have made some, have gained some ground. I would guess that this Chesney team, Madison team, is probably not the team that Madison fans would want in the playoff, maybe last year's team or the year before, but it's a hell of a football team. Really, really good football team. They hung in there with Louisville, a team that beat Miami early in the season. So there is that one sort of, you know, result. Their one loss to Louisville early in the season, 28-14, was a close game. I mean, it was a 14-14 game going into the fourth quarter before Louisville pulled away in that game. They're 21-point underdogs. I doubt it. I doubt it, seriously. All right, Charge next.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered. It's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. You bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With MasterClass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Airo. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.